Welcome to Chimpions. This actual play RPG podcast takes place in a setting based on the Secret World Chronicle novels. We use the Hero System 5th edition rules to follow the escapades of a team of metahumans working for the Echo organization. Starring Matt as Bullet.
It's only now it becomes apparent that it was all Shockwave's fault.
Paul as Shockwave.
Because she was giving it to me. Most powerful thing I've ever felt.
Scott was Stratus.
Cracking knob. He didn't snowball.
And me, your GM, Mark. Welcome to another episode of Chimpions.
Hello.
Hello.
And I may well edit this out and then paste it into the next episode because we're about, about 8 sessions behind when I put out an episode. But, well, I certainly, and I'm sure everyone else would like to say a really big thank you to Douglas Blythe, who's donated 10 great big sterling pounds to us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's brilliant, through PayPal, so that's great. And since he's done it through PayPal and it is by the GM and cast drink, that's exactly what we're going to do with it.
Yeah.
But not in London, because it'll only buy one.
Well,
and
I think
4 straws.
As we're all going off to a music festival in the near future, we should spend it there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah.
And if anybody else wants to donate, feel free.
Indeed. You don't want Doug taking all the plaudits.
Well, no, definitely not. And yeah. And in fact, I feel that all he's done is such a challenge for everyone else.
Yeah. The bar has been set.
It has indeed. £10.
I mean, no.
£1,000 will come round to your house and do your housework in just a pants. Well, I will
and
anyway.
£2,000 for us to go.
£3,000 for us to go and not make a big kerfuffle when we leave, as if she sexually abused us.
So you have to cut this bit out, Mark.
Yeah, you've opened
a
can of worms.
I don't think so. Yeah, with more than £10 in it, hopefully. Yeah, I'm sure I'll cut quite a bit of that out.
Yeah.
So last session, I can't remember exactly where we left it. Had you actually left?
Yep.
Yeah. I'd arranged with Ramona that we was going to take all of our equipment to the laundry.
That's right, yes.
And then we left.
And then what's the face came round? It's the blue one.
Of course, yes. Sorry, God, yeah, I'm terrible. Belladonna.
That's it. She came round and said, good move. See their inside person or something.
She certainly encouraged you to
contact
to join up with the CCCP. Yeah, and yeah, I think that's roughly where we left it, wasn't it?
So I can't wait to see CCP's supercomputer and see how much it beats, how many teraflops it beats Echoes by. I've no idea what a teraflop is, but it sounds vaguely computery.
Floppy.
Yeah,
I bet you it's got a lot of RS-232 interface leads.
Even I know what that is.
See, you're all laughing in your nerdy way, and I have no idea what you're about.
How dare you accuse us of being nerds in this online internet role-playing broadcast?
Yeah.
You're not pretending to be superheroes. This is your day job.
Well, I say superheroes quite loosely.
Most excellent heroes. It's better than super. Incredible!
So, yes, anyway, it's early afternoon where we've left it roughly. And, well, I guess it's over to you.
Margarita was toying with throwing us out.
No, she was going to go on a
holiday.
A sabbatical.
Decide what she's going to
do. And then come back.
And decide what she's going to do with the house.
And have made overtones to selling it to you guys.
And it's worth around $1 million, I would guess, from my Google searching.
Yeah, well, I don't think CCCP's salary is going to be comparable with Echo's, so...
I could rent it off Marguerite, and then she's got a steady income.
That's a possibility, yeah.
It's up to her. She can tell us all about it when she comes back off her holiday in about 3 years.
I thought it was going to be 3 weeks, but...
Yes, right, years.
Yeah, in real time.
That's dog weeks.
Okay, so we've got a night of freedom. Should we approach CCCP tomorrow, are you feeling uneasy being?
Well, there's still super villains at large. We've got to get Bastion, so we might as well strike whilst the sickle is hot.
A lot of heroes for hire, aren't we?
Yeah, quite literally. Yeah. Mm. So I suppose we'd better take the muscle car.
That's all we've got at the moment. We need to find a new vehicle.
Vespers all round.
What's that coming down the road?
I think you're aiming a bit high. I think you're more like a Honda C90.
It's Rolling Wasp.
Make the next run in with the Rebs interested.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe that could solve our need for vehicles. We could
just steal them from the Rebs.
Yeah, I think we're going to chill out. Oh, are we going today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God.
We've got to get Bastion back.
No rest for the wicked. I think she's a lost cause now.
Oh, how can you say that?
I can't see her changing back.
See, she did say that she'd find... I think she was talking to you, Shockwave. I think she said she would find you.
Yeah.
And we've got Vicky as well to help. I'm sure she might be able to guide us in the right direction.
You know the Echo database that we don't really have access to now at the drop of a hat?
Or do we?
Don't we?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do we?
Well, I'll see if I can still get some data out of it. Run a basic check.
Still active.
Excellent. So far, our ties have not been severed.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So the paperwork gets around the campus.
It is good to know, because I spent CP to get that check, that link.
Do we know where the CCCP... I'm just going to call them the Russians. I can't get that out. It doesn't just roll off my tongue.
We do know where they're based.
Where their secret base is.
Well, it's not secret.
You know, I was going to say, do you know which neighbourhood it is?
So it's on the junction between Cortland Street and John Wesley Dobbs. If you really want to go and look it up, which is pretty central. It's quite near several of the destruction corridors.
Oh, yes, I found it. Yeah.
Ah, got it. Yep.
It's, oh, there's a crispy crunchy chicken just down the way. So that's quite handy.
So you're heading over in the afternoon, yeah? Is that the idea?
There's a budget car rental as well. That's very handy since you know, we don't have a vehicle as at present, and a parking garage. So pretty well, you know, serviced in terms of amenities.
So as part of your trip to the CCCP, you have to circumvent one of the destruction corridors that runs quite close by it. So the area is fairly run down. It still has quite a lot of collateral damage from the Thule troopers coming through Atlanta. The CCCP building itself seems to be largely untouched. It's a three-story building. Looks like it was probably originally built as a chapel.
It's a church.
It's got a main front entrance with a small porch with sort of faux columns in front of it. On the other corner is a smaller side entrance, if you like.
Yeah, very nice.
But as you pull up, you're struggling to find space because around the building are various workers' vans, electricians, carpenters, decorators, and numerous skips that are loaded with presumably stuff that's been dragged out of the building and packaging and waste from stuff that's obviously been used to refit the inside. So there's quite a lot of bustling activity around the building, although no one really pays you any heed. And yeah, you pull up behind a builder's van. He says some chap getting his tools out the back. See most of his arse.
There you go, stereotyping people.
Yep.
Wonder what they do there. Harlem Nights, Ultra Lounge. Disco.
It's roller disco.
Wicked.
We don't want for anything.
Could you see Shockwave in those big socks that they used to wear over them? I don't know what they called them.
Skates on, lads.
Some bowers.
What do you mean used to wear?
Bullet with his snood on and his shades.
We'd turn up there, it's like, what do you want? It's like roller disco? Take that kind of place.
It is now.
So yes, you pull up out of sight anyway, bloody hell. And yeah, head in, I guess, yep, through that, yeah, rather grand sort of entrance.
Yep.
Into what is a, you know, foyer. Very, very open, but very bare foyer. The only furniture in here is a large desk. Looks like something probably dragged out from the 70s. It's sort of that ugly but functional, you know, sort of office furniture that you could quite happily drop from a second-story window and would probably get away unscathed. And there's someone sat behind it. You can see, you know, there's a man sat behind it, head down, writing.
All right, go up. Good afternoon.
Jay looks up. You see it, sir. It's Untermensch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you need more help? He says, you know, sort of looking at you in a quizzical fashion.
It's more a question of, you know,
yeah.
Do you need more help?
We thought you might like us to fight for the right to party.
At a roller disco.
Should we just stop, call it a night, and start it next week?
Sorry.
Yeah, to aid the CCCP.
Do you are Echo?
Yeah. Well, we find Echo constrictive.
Well, he looks a bit confused. Just one moment.
Okay.
He says, turns around, picks up a phone, which, again, looks like it was dragged out of the Ark. Uses the rotating dial.
Yeah.
Through.
You sure he hits the receiver and then asks for switchboard to put him through?
Speaks in fairly rapid fire Russian, which take it no one speaks Russian.
Yet.
Yeah, hangs up. He says, the commissar is expecting you.
Hmm.
And he will. I will try and get some sort of accent going. Rather than
this is quite good.
Yeah. Is he French?
You've seen through his double agent disguise. He makes a break for freedom.
Kill him.
Yes, come, follow me. The building's quite old, isn't it? As he leads you through it and up to another story, it's a bit of a warren inside. You see as you're going through, the building work seems to be opening spaces up, converting rooms into barracks and that sort of thing. It's obviously not really designed for what they want to use it for. And yeah, eventually comes to, a door, knocks. And hear from the other side, come. And yeah, opens the door. And he says, Commissar, the Echo team. And he ushers you in and then shuts the door behind you and disappears.
Back to reception.
Well, yeah, back to reception, presumably. The Blue Girl said you would be here. You had changed your mind.
Yes, somewhat.
Ah, good, good. If you two could wait outside, she says, points to bullet and shockwave, and we start your interview now.
Okay.
So bullet and shockwave, what are you doing?
Go out. Is there somewhere to wait?
It's just a corridor.
Yeah, a corridor.
have a look for somewhere to sit in one of the adjacent rooms or something.
Yeah, so you see, most of the places seems to be pretty empty, but yeah, you find a couple of old storage crates to sit on. You'd know from the news that they arrived just after the incident, so they've not been here that long, and it shows. Red Saviour sort of sat behind a desk in a full uniform.
Right.
And she says, take a seat.
Is there one?
Yeah, there's a single seat in front of a desk.
Yeah, I'll sit down.
She says, tell me about your political views.
Well, I would sort of think that a socialist democrat. I see the fact.
No, don't label yourself. Tell me about your political views.
I think that there is far too much taken for granted by the people that have, and they get there by standing on the backs of the people that don't.
Ah. Good, good.
However, I like things to be nice and ordered.
Ah, even better.
And that's where the democracy comes in.
She makes a little note on a pad in front of her.
Have a past?
Blue Girl tells me you're not good at following orders. Is that true?
I'm not good at following orders. This is Red Saviour, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Well, what do you think to that? You've seen me in the field.
We are not like Echo. We have to follow the rules, obviously. But you have seen us in the field too, and we are not so shy, if you like. But I expect all my troops to follow orders. My orders to the letter.
Well, that sounds a bit like a dictatorship. I follow orders, but I do what I believe is right. That is what makes for a fair and righteous upholder of the law.
You might be trouble.
Dissident.
But the Blue Guard's keen that you join us. I don't know why. But yes, I have seen you in the field, and you seem more of a mindset of ourselves than those capitalist. I was going to say fools, and that isn't unfair, but they're soft capitalists at Echo. So the last question. You are stood next to a train track. On one track is a bag full of kittens. On the other track is a sturdy communist worker being led astray by a capitalist with a PS4. And there is a train hurtling towards them at 40 miles. And you answer as you answer, but she genuinely does ask you this bizarre question. One of those no-win situation questions.
Human life is above animal life. That is what I would go for.
That is a good answer. And do you think you could work with us? That we have difference in ideals, and I look forward to proving that your ideals, as we all know, are wrong.
And I would like to counter that by showing you that my ideals are not dissimilar to yours. You just look at them in a different angle.
Yes, I like that. Good answer. That is good. When you leave, send a bulletin next.
Okay, thank you. I'll walk out.
Yeah, you walk out. The interview takes a little longer than that.
Yeah, I'll walk out and say, don't go for the kittens.
Yeah, I mean, she gives you a little bit harder time around the politics side, but I don't know very much anything in depth about communism, really, and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So you enter, I take it, Bullet, and she runs through basically the same series of questions with you. The main one is, you know, what are your political beliefs? How do you see Atlanta at the moment? What is wrong with it?
Aside from the destruction, I've been quite impressed by what I've heard about your work in this area. It's kind of I've been trying. I mean, I was born and raised in Atlanta in Bankhead, and I've been trying to do something similar there. You know, it's a poorer area, and I know there's a lot of wealth, a lot of uneven distribution of wealth in the city. So I like to think that, you know, we've got something in common in that regard. In, you know, we're trying to make things better for the people who don't have so much.
Ah, good. We seem to be filling the gaps that the police and Echo can't fill.
No, it's good to see. I think for me the best thing is you maybe empower the people to make things better for themselves.
Ah, exactly. Yes, I like that. Send Shockwave on your way out. And you notice she's obviously used to giving orders. You know, she doesn't say, can you please, can you... It's like, yeah, bugger off, send him in.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, Shockwave, you get the same routine and she asks you the same sort of thing. Tell me about your politics. What do you think to the city?
I don't really understand these Americans and their the way they act. I'm more of a gentler person from Japan. I just let them get on with it. I'm not interested in the politics here.
I put you down as undecided. And then she bellows at the top of her voice while you're sat right in front of a Shockwave and shouts for Bullet and Stratus. Bullet! Stratus! Dave!
You wanted us?
Come in. As you may have seen, we are understaffed and underfunded. The fat old men in the Kremlin do not give us much funds. And your aid would be welcome. Obviously, if we don't work well together, then we would have to reconsider. But until then, if you're willing to follow my orders, then I think we can work together. I'm hoping for some more soon, but promises from the Kremlin aren't.
I mean, we work well as a team. Would we be able to continue working together?
Yes, I think that is best. You are right. You do work well as a team. You know, as I said at the time, when it comes to the fight, yes, you are good. Maybe you need to brush up some of your other skills. They, how did they say? Bullock at a china shop, maybe.
I mean, we've got other skills that might be of use to your organisation. Stratus is, well, he can do with things with computers that, I mean, I thought they were for playing games, but he can do all sorts of things, like email and shit like that. So,
printing.
Ah, yes, we will. Yes, we will. We'll get a feel for that as we go along, I think. Your dossiers say most of it, she says. Picks up a manila envelope off the desk, which has clearly got Echo logo on it. She's clearly got your files. She says, yes, it's interesting reading. Well, I wouldn't like to rush you into too quickly. So let's say 8 o'clock sharp in the morning. If you would like to make yourself at home, you met Untermenschen, Feli, obviously, and Chug. The only one you haven't met is Soviet. She is our medic. But feel free to wander around, and if you have no accommodation, we have accommodation here.
Yes, we have some modest accommodation.
Ah, good, good.
We rent some rooms.
Well, when you say rent, we don't actually pay for them.
Rooms with a pool. Ah, good, well, I have my reports to do. Close the door on your way out.
Right.
Just dismisses you.
I can give you the name of a good builder if you've got any.
We have good union builder. No, not bad in a fight either.
Okay, fair enough. Go and explore then, I guess.
Yeah, it's quite a big building. They're obviously doing the, you know, minor repairs to it and trying to, you know, reconfigure rooms for different purposes. They're obviously breaking up some of the rooms in the higher stories for, to be, you know, bunk rooms for maybe 6 or 7 people. Yeah, you find like the soup kitchen, which must have been some sort of like church kitchen before anyway, and they just sort of reconditioned that. And yeah, as you wander around, you would eventually bump into a Soviet as well. So over the next 3 weeks or so, assuming that there's nothing major you want to do.
I'm going to keep getting in touch with Vicky.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, over about the next 3 weeks or so, you get familiar with the few characters that are in the CCCP at the moment. Ritzaver's demeanour is as harsh as her angular features. When she gives an order, she expects it to be followed. She's passionate about her beliefs and is prone to bursts of rage, which the rest of the team seem pretty unfazed by. But her heart is clearly in the right place. The CCCP runs a soup kitchen and offers free medical aid to anyone and everyone. Both are pretty limited as funds are tight, but they always seem to get by somehow. It's also clear that her team respects her and her leadership. And in return, she seems to respect them equally. Untermensch appears to be our unofficial second-in-command, although he prefers to be called his birth name, Georgie, as his call sign is pretty insulting and was given to him by the Nazi doctors that experimented on him. He's stoic, serious,
a bit standoffish,
though far from humourless, and also appears to be the CCCP's de facto mechanic. Soviet appears to be in her 40s. She has a more classic beauty of a film star from the 50s, rather than a more, you know, the more modern beauty, if you like.
Right.
She obviously possesses metahuman healing powers, which she happily uses on the team and those at the clinic. But she's also conventionally trained and tends to use the more conventional means unless meta-healing is necessary. Chog, despite his rather unnerving, rocky exterior and phenomenal strength, acts more like a gleeful toddler than anything else.
Right.
The team obviously dote on him, but they treat him more like a puppy than another human being. But despite his slow wits, he speaks fluent English and Russian. And over the few weeks you were there, you were repeatedly finding him lost in rooms. Right. He also eats anything and everything that he is given permission to. From waffles and chicken, to broken equipment, right up to ammunition that the CCCP doesn't have the right firearms for.
That's right. Crikey.
One thing I forgot to ask was, what was the pay?
So yeah, over the next few weeks you ask what the pay is. The pay is enough to live on, whatever that works out, you know, maybe what, a couple of $100, you know, $300 or $400 a week or something. It's the bare pittance. Although obviously you can eat at the CCCP and you can sleep there and you can, but they obviously don't have much in the way of finances. And they all seem to be going into the building work.
Okay.
And as you say, there's actually an underground garage to the place. And yeah, in that garage, they have this battered out old van and several old motorbike sidecar combos, which look like they're from the Second World War. They're actually called Earls. Yeah. You can still buy them now. I looked them up recently. But those sort of motorbikes that look like, again, much like their desks. Yeah, you could drop a bomb on them and you could probably fix them afterwards. But yeah, they are obviously running on a shoestring here.
Yep.
And also, while you're here, Belladonna Blue shows up a few times as well. And she obviously has a relationship with Red Xavier, which, you know, she doesn't hide from you by any means. So yeah, you just sort of settle in, unless you think, no, this isn't for us. You sort of settle in over the next few weeks. It's not going to be as glamorous as Echo, but you get a stronger feel of camaraderie, because because it's such a small group, and two, because although Red Savior is this sort of a bit of an authoritarian dictator, if you approach her right, she's willing to listen and will certainly ask for advice, you know, like all good leaders. What she's not good at, she will ask those she is good at.
I was just... a couple of things. One is... Because obviously I've got outgoings, because I've got the gym and stuff. I need to know how long I can run the gym for without having to, you know, go all Robin Hood and start, you know, disappearing stuff from the homes of the great and the good, which I am kind of quite willing to do. So
sure.
But also, I'll sort of volunteer my services in terms of security, you know, security systems. So, if they need any help with setting up, surveillance and so forth around the place.
Oh, yeah, Red Savior will use and abuse every skill you have.
Okay, cool.
Most definitely. So, yeah, I mean, the place has got quite an archaic computer system, Strauss. It's there,
yep.
But it's pretty archaic, and Red Savior obviously prefers paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, the med bay, if you like, is equipped, but again, the equipment's pretty old, and it certainly, you know, wouldn't mirror even, you know, the most basic A&E hospital. But yeah, over that 3 weeks, while you sort of settle in, you know, she sticks you on doing pretty much what you did at Echo, you know, shoving you out, wander around, make sure there's no trouble and all that sort of stuff. As I say, it's at sort of the north of a fairly large destruction corridor, and the area itself is pretty run down, so you're certainly not unbusy, but nothing that would, you know, challenge you, minor hoodlums and that sort of thing. You know, just your presence is usually enough to disperse, you know, most people.
Calm things down.
But yeah, during that time as well, Bullet, Georgie spends a bit of time with you, because you're obviously, you know, a bit of a marksman. Yeah, while you're there, they've actually grabbed part of one of the destruction corridors and turned it into a shooting range. Because just the, you know, the broken buildings and the around it and all that, with just a, you know, a bit of ingenuity on their part, has given like a fairly secure shooting gallery where, you know, no stray bullets are going to catch any pedestrians or anything. And yeah, just, okay. and I mean, Georgie goes out of his way and says, yeah, shooter, let's see what you can do.
Show him what I can do.
So yeah, I mean, you're not only accurate, you're fast as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
So yeah, he sets, you know, different sort of sets of targets up. You know, it's only things like tin cans and cardboard cutouts. You know, again, they're a real shoestring, you know, bottles and that sort of thing. And after, you know, doing this for maybe an hour and a half, and sort of says, you are accurate, and you are very fast as well. They're certainly faster than me. But you're not good at... you don't use that speed well.
You think not?
It says here, shoot. Yeah, and points at, you know, several times. That, and that. And of course, you take aim, shoot, take aim, shoot, take aim, shoot, I guess. It should be a normal thing.
Yeah.
I said, let me show you. And yeah, so over the next couple of weeks, you know, so sort of proceeds to... teach you one of the auto fire skills, whichever you prefer.
Oh, okay.
Because you've got
nice.
The base auto fire, haven't you? But you can there's supplementary skills that down the nags on, you know, it's like shooting multiple targets and that sort of thing.
Okay, cool, nice one.
As I say, you know, he's a nice bloke. He's easy to get along with. He's not that extrovert. Shockwave.
Yeah.
So yeah, over the few weeks there as well, you know, obviously Feili's Japanese as well, and you know, you've only been there a few days, and she says, let me show you something. Follow me. And yeah, she takes...
He's really a man.
Yeah. And she takes you up onto the roof of the building, and there's, you know, and you see she's like made like a small Zen garden in one corner of the one of the roofs, and she says, if you feel free to use the garden there. The help would be appreciated. But she hasn't got a Russian accent. In fact, she hasn't really got an accent at all. Neither Russian nor Japanese nor American.
Sam.
And yes, Stratus, while you're there. Yeah, eventually Vicky catches up with you and says, you said you could help me. Have you managed to memorise those files I sent you?
I think so.
Good. Now is as good a time as any if you could be here in a couple of hours.
Your place?
Yes. I don't mean to be rude, but unfortunately, yes, I do. We probably need best to do this in person.
Yeah. Okay. On my own or with the others?
On your own, if you don't mind. Belladonna will be here.
Yep. That's fine. Yep. No problem. Just wanted to make sure.
No, that's... thank you.
Yep, I'll see you in a bit.
And yeah, so you head over that evening, and Belladonna lets you in, and then does what she did pretty much last time you all went. It sort of, you know, goes into the kitchen and is present, but keeps out of the way.
Yeah.
And yeah, Vicky's already sat sort of at the coffee table, and she sort of motions for you to sit on the other side. And again, you notice now she's not talking to you over the comms. She sort of reverts back to that bag of nerves. It says, this is what I need you to do. If you can hold your hand like this, she says, and just holds her hand out, you know, like you're feeding an apple to a bloody horse or something.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Kirk, if you can close your... It would be easier if you close your eyes. And...
Are you going to give me a gift?
Maybe.
Ooh!
And you do get a wry smile out of her. This is that. Try and visualise that image that I gave you. Not think about it, try and visualise it like you were looking at it.
Okay. I'll use my mind's eye.
And now...
Reconstruct the image.
Recount the audio. as while you still remain visualizing the image.
Okay. I'll try and repeat the audio.
So just roll me 3d6.
Six.
Wow. And she goes, okay, now open your eyes.
Okay, I'll open my eyes.
And in the palm of your hand is like a blue flame.
Interesting.
Which winks out as soon as you go, oh, interesting. You are not truly a metahuman.
I beg your pardon?
What you are doing is... That was an incantation. You have just... Whether it's a combination of both, which I think my abilities are... You are a magician, not truly a metahuman. The thing that you summoned was the giveaway, which is interesting in itself.
Wait, you mean Chili?
Yes.
Okay.
Magicians don't summon elementals. Well, some do. They don't live very long. Elementals do not like to be bound, and when they break those bonds, they kill their captors.
Right, okay.
However, what you summoned isn't quite an elemental. It's too small.
I see. So...
You seem to have found some way to pull through just an aspect of it, which is interesting but dangerous.
Okay. I'm glad I'm sitting down. So, you're saying my powers are magic?
I think you have learnt to use your abilities in a certain way. Like a hedge wizard. They've manifested, you've controlled them. In a crude way.
In a crude way?
And they are stable, I would assume.
Well, they do as my bidding. But I thought I did it with finesse, not crude.
Well, when I say crude, I mean... Do you manifest your abilities in certain ways, and they are limited to that, are they not?
They are. Well...
So that's what I mean by crude. You have no finesse in how you manipulate them.
Okay.
You can do two or three things and that's it.
I have a few things under my sleeve.
with training you could do more. But that is a
training
long process. But think on it. I could show you some enough to control them better.
Well...
But you have to be sure, I...
I was a student before what I thought were meta abilities manifested. I'm willing to learn.
See, I suspect my abilities with technology are... It's unusual for a magician to be good with technology. So I suspect that I have some meta ability that enhances my natural sorcerer abilities to be able to allow me to do what I do. Most magicians struggle with technology, some quite disastrously.
I see.
You may have something similar. You seem to be good with technology as well. Your eyewear, for instance.
Yes. This is definitely food for thought.
Think on it, because it will get harder before it gets easier.
Well, all learning has a pinnacle to achieve that should be a struggle. And yes, I need to think about this. But as I've said, I am not averse to learning and refining any knowledge that I have. So let me digest what you've said, and I'll get back to you. Thank you.
And practice what I've shown you. It's a simple student's trick. You can't cause yourself any harm with it.
Yes, thank you. Totally changed the subject. Have you had any chance at locating where Bastion may be?
She's too strong.
Curses.
Which is worrying. I've put some of the feelers out to see if anyone else knows or can find anything, but so far nothing.
And
unfortunately, there's so little known about the Black Paladins and more that doesn't even give us anything to go on.
Well, I appreciate your efforts.
I'm sure she'll show herself eventually.
I'm sure that she will try and make Shockwave pay for what's happened, and probably Bullet too. So there will be a point when she shows her head. Unfortunately, it'll be on her terms and not ours.
All you can do is try and be as ready as you can.
Expect the unexpected. Aye. Right, well, yes. Again, thank you. And yes, thank you for making me think much harder about what it is I do.
No matter what your decision, I would recommend not using the summoning. I don't quite understand it yet.
Okay.
But as I say, all those who've tried to bind elementals have ended up in a grisly death.
Oh, okay. I will bear that in mind. Thank you.
That's my pleasure.
All right. Well, I will bid you farewell.
Yes, yes. Yeah. She's looking quite strained now.
too much contact.
Yeah, too much contact. Too much contact with someone she doesn't know very well anyway.
Yes, we'll speak to you via comms.
Yes, it's more comfortable, thank you.
Yes, I can tell that you're easier with that. But I will say, it is nice to see you in the flesh every now and again.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to see you. It's just uncomfortable. Sorry, no.
No, that's fine. I appreciate how you feel. So, on that note, goodbye.
Goodbye. And just roll me perception.
Yeah, made it by lots.
So yeah, you notice, I can't remember if it was you noticed last time that...
Made by four.
She, yeah, and it'd probably click this time if it hadn't before. She always wears gloves.
Right.
Which is just unusual, so it stands out.
Yeah, for being... For someone indoors to wear gloves. Yeah. Glove hair.
And yeah, she lets Belladonna escort you out.
Yeah. Right. Well, cheers, BB.
That's my pleasure. Thank you for being so tactful.
Hey, yeah, she's a good girl, is Vicky. And
she is, and she's a stronger woman than she knows, but it will take time. And
yeah, I wouldn't want to be upset for anything. Yeah, that's fine. Her terms.
And I hear you're settling in.
Yeah,
Nat's bark is worse than her bite.
She likes to bark.
That she does, yes.
But, yes, we'll see. When the chips are down, as long as she's all right, then we can carry on.
Yes, I think they're more than capable.
Yes, I'll say so.
Bye.
See ya.
So is there anything you want to scope out with the CCCP in these early days?
Don't know. Even though it's a couple of weeks, it's still like early days. So
it is, because there's such a small group of them, it's very intimate as well.
I'll probably help out and sort some vehicles out for them.
Yeah, as soon as you go, yeah, Georgie's obviously their mechanic, and he's fairly able. He's not rubbish, he's just not got an awful lot to work. He's quite happy to get the help on, you know, keeping the Earls and the van in just working conditions. Seems to be his whole aim, is to just keep them running. There's also a massive old generator that he must have had somehow shipped in, which looks like it's from the Second World War as well. But he's struggling to get working.
Right. I'll aid and get all that.
Yes, over the next couple of weeks. Yeah, just roll me a mechanics.
Oh, it's only 11. Failed.
So yeah, it's old. It's a very robust piece of equipment. It's also very temperamental. It needs constant attention, is the best way to put it. And you can't get it, you know, beyond that point. You know, between the two of you, yes, you do get it running, but it just needs, say, constant attention to keep it going for any period of time. And Georgie seems happy with that.
Fair enough. I'll extend the garden on the roof and meditate. Stop meditating when I get a chance.
Faye will join in with that. She's very calm, very... And in fact, she seems to be the only one who can sway Red Savior's temper in.
So it will just help them set up.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of it is trying to iron things out. They're all very hands-on, including Red Savior. Although she likes to give the orders and all that, she's got no problems of involving herself in all the work. You fall into a bit of a rhythm with them over the next 3 weeks. You know, she sends you out on a few patrols this area and that area. The others tend to go out in pairs. They don't send Chug out. And Soviet seems to be pretty...
In case he eats everyone.
Seems to be pretty much bound to the place as well. And, sorry, I think probably best to leave it there for tonight.
All right.
Committee.
See you then.
Where are your secrets in my skin?
Thank you for listening. If you would like to help support the show, you can find us on Patreon at Chimpions RPG Podcast, where a donation of the price of a cup of coffee would make a noticeable difference to what we are able to produce. If you're not able to support us that way and would just like to leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, that is equally appreciated. We would also really like to know what we can do to improve the show. So if you'd like to contact us to offer suggestions or just general feedback, then you can email me at mark@champions.co.uk, or you can find me on Twitter @ChampionsRPG. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope we're able to give you a little entertainment to put a smile on your face. And until next episode, goodbye!
My smile's taken long off. I can change your hope, but never know.